And in the United States, the impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump continues to gather pace, with Democrats ordering Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to turn over documents relating to the administration's dealings with Ukraine. It comes after an anonymous whistleblower filed an official complaint accusing the president of soliciting Ukraine's help in his 2020 re-election campaign. But now attention is focusing on the whistleblower's identity, with the New York Times facing a backlash after outing the person as a CIA employee. Bradley Moss is a partner with the Washington law firm that's representing this whistleblower. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Mr. Moss.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Now, the New York Times reports that the whistleblower is a male CIA employee who was detailed to the White House. Can you confirm that?
No, and obviously I can't comment one way or the other with respect to any particular biographical details of this whistleblower, even if to say it's a male or female. And the whistleblower law specifically contemplates the idea that these individuals will remain anonymous. Their identities and their political backgrounds, their personal biases, if any, are completely irrelevant in the end, because that's why it goes through the vetting process. That's why it was reviewed by an inspector general. And the story is not the whistleblower. The story is the complaint.
Do you believe the New York Times acted inappropriately then and unethically in revealing details about this whistleblower's identity?
So, I mean, look, I understand, you know, that for the media, for journalists, there is a public interest value in providing this kind of information. I certainly would have appreciated if they had not even provided this. I'm sure there was pressure to do so. There's a business model that's in play at some point. I don't believe it was appropriate. I don't see anything illegal about it, obviously, but it's something that I would hope that most media outlets try to refrain from doing anything more than what's been done, because this person, in the end, is not a public figure, and their life could be at risk if they get outed, given the current political climate.
Although, from what we hear, that person is quite comfortable with being interviewed and, in fact, giving evidence to Congress. So, I mean, it's not exactly a shrinking violet.
Correct. No, and that's a fair criticism, but also bear in mind that the testimony will be behind closed doors. There will not be any public airing of what is said. The transcript will remain closed and classified. The hearing will be held in a secure facility away from prying eyes of the media. It's not meant to be a public spectacle like it is. And this is not the first whistleblower to go through this process. The public never knows about these individuals. The only reason we know about this one is because there's a political component.
So in your view, has the whistleblower's personal safety now been compromised?
I think anything that provides any more detail or insight into the background of this individual increases the risk. I'm not going to say it's been compromised one way or the other, but I think there is something for people to bear in mind in the end, that this person just did what they thought was appropriate. They didn't go to the media. They didn't leak classified documents to the media or anything like that. They went through the proper channels, and that's the way the system is supposed to work, no matter who is in the White House.
Now, of course, the New York Times executive editor, Dean Baquet, I think it is, now, his view is that the reason they made this big decision to be so specific about this person was that they wanted to provide information to readers that allows them to make their own judgments about whether or not he is credible, given that this is such a landmark impeachment proceeding and given the state of politics in the US, so that they said these are exceptional circumstances. Do you not have any sympathy with them?
I certainly have sympathy, but to the extent that there's concerns about this whistleblower's credibility, I'll say that the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, who was appointed by Donald Trump and presumably is not a deep state mole, found this person credible. The Acting Director of National Intelligence, who currently still serves at the pleasure of the president, has found this person credible and said his or her identity will be protected. If there needs to be any more proof of credibility, I don't know what could be possibly done.
Well, defenders of the New York Times also say that what was published would not have been news to the White House and President Trump. They say it would have taken little digging for them to identify the source of this complaint, given the level of details it contained. So is that another bit of context for the New York Times decision?
I don't know how the New York Times necessarily does or doesn't know what the White House did or did not know. They're doing their job for them to an extent, providing some detail and some insight into who this person was. The White House and the U.S. government has tons of resources. They didn't need the help of the New York Times. Just my personal view here, I don't think this was something that the public ultimately really had any real need to know at this point in time, nor anything that the White House needed help on.
Why is it important? It might sound an odd question, but particularly given the circumstances, why is it important to keep this whistleblower's identity a secret? I mean, why does it matter so much?
Sure. So if you put aside, hysterics of, possible threat to their life, just think from a professional standpoint, if this person is outed, their professional career in the U.S. government is effectively over. They'll never be able to continue working there, where if they are currently working there at all. I'm not going to confirm one way or the other on that front. So the moment they become a public figure in that regards, they have to leave their current career for however long they've been there and now have to go do something else, being a pariah within the U.S. government. And in the end, the whistleblower is not the story. I'm going to keep repeating that to everybody I talk to. The whistleblower did what was specifically permitted by law to bring this concern through the proper channels in a confidential manner so it could be dealt with by the political branches, the executive and the legislative branch. The whistleblower did not want to be an Edward Snowden. They didn't want to come public and say everything that they had seen and disclose classified information. They just wanted to make the proper confidential disclosure, and we should respect that.
Yes. Look, I must say, reading it all from here in Australia, it almost appears the whistleblower wants to be more public, is ready. This is just a subjective judgment. There seems to be a real readiness of this person who's deeply offended by the sound of it, by what he believes he's seen, to take it further. Am I wrong to be drawing that conclusion?
Well, I think you have to view it also in the context of what the whistleblower would have possibly been expecting when this was first submitted. I mean, if the White House and the DNI had not refused to initially allow the transmittal of that complaint from the Inspector General to the House Intelligence Committee, this would never been a story. No one would have known about it. It would have been handled behind the scenes, just like everything else is with these types of complaints. The only reason we even know about this is because they refused to provide the complaint to the Intelligence Committee, and the Intelligence Committee chairman had to go public. That's why we know about this. This person had no intention of coming public on this kind of stuff. They were just trying to submit stuff through the process.
Right. And now there's now a media scramble, of course, to reveal more details about the whistleblower's identity. Do you worry that that will deter other government employees from coming forward?
I think what concerns me more than even just the identity is the smear that is going on out there. I mean, particularly here in the United States, in our media circles, from defenders of the president, to smear this person as a spy, as a snitch, as a partisan. This person, whoever he or she is, was not meant to be someone who is public, not a public figure, did not go public on this, did not try to come out and bring it to people who would have had a vendetta. This person appointed by President Trump. If you're going to be a part of a deep state mole, conspiracy coup against the U.S. president, why would you bring it to someone the president appointed unless you were doing it in a context of your standard professionalism and civil servant responsibilities as opposed to being a political hack?
And look, just finally, I mean, given that you mentioned spies, Donald Trump has likened whistleblowers to spies and he's alluded to retaliation. Is this particular whistleblower especially at risk? Do you again worry?
I think anybody who brings a complaint against this president should have some level of worry. And I think they have to recognize, especially if there is a political component, if they're going up against someone truly senior, like the U.S. president, or a senior lawmaker or a senior executive in the U.S. government, that there's going to be political backlash and smear if any details become public. And that is unfortunately the reality of our current social media and political environment. Is even people who do it right, like this person, and who don't leak, like Edward Snowden did, still get smeared.
Well, Bradley Moss, thank you very much for those insights.
Absolutely, anytime.
Bradley Moss, a partner at the Washington law firm that is representing the whistleblower at the heart of the impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump.